You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me and was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, part of it gonna hell. Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Billy. Doing well. I'm at an airport, believe it or not. Got in about 15 minutes ago, and I'm outside and all, amongst all the hustle and bustle, but I would, at least until my ride comes, I want to sit here and do the show as much as I can with you and all of our beautiful fans around the globe tonight. How are you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. You know, Tom, I'd like to, I don't normally start off on the beginning of things and saying anything, and I think everybody knows me well enough over the years. Very few times do I ever even talk about another person or ill about another person. But tonight I feel extremely, in extreme gratitude to someone that we used to know. And he has a radio show. I'm not going to say his name ever because I don't want to give him that satisfaction. But anyway, this individual, for years now, he's been spewing out lies and distorted facts, all kinds of things about you and our team and everybody. And not just us, but we're the center of attention. In fact, he's made his whole career off of Tom Biscardi. His claim to fame is being able to call Tom Biscardi a fraud, a hoaxer, and he has so many things that he's distorted. And one of the things that he put out here in the last week in his radio show was that we've taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from poor people on a museum project. Ladies and gentlemen, Marco Bill is one of the investors with Tom Biscardi. And that's because this other individual doesn't have enough, well, you only have two nickels to rub together to invest in a soda pop, okay? Now, and this guy is talking about like he knows everything about us. Let me tell you the truth. The real truth is this. Well, yes, we do have a partnership agreement for a museum, actually for two of them, okay? And it's a restaurant combined. We have partnership agreements with an individual who owns a hotel in a landmark area, and he is very anxious for us to come with him and start building this thing. We have also a movie producer who is a very, who, by the way, if you want to throw names around, Lucas, George Lucas, everybody knows him, used to own a special effects department for Star Wars and things, and he made his name out of that. Later on, got tired and sold it. Well, this individual that we're in partnership with was in charge of that organization, and he specializes in 3D and special effects. And he is a partnership in this museum. And to date, my friends, we have never even raised a dollar for this museum because it is a project, a future project. Now, where this individual gets where we've taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from poor people on a project that we've never even started yet. So you see how things can get distorted and rumorized around. It's complete trash. This other individual also swears that he infiltrated our organization to expose us as hoaxers. Let me tell you something. Here's the real truth, people. This individual, yes, he did come with us. Yes, he used to call Tom Pop. Okay? That's how close he was. And this individual, he did have his only encounter that he's ever had with us on our team. And when he had that encounter, guess what? He pee-peed his pants. Now, that's nothing wrong with that, other than the fact that he's trying to portray himself as a super sleuth, and Forensic is his middle name. And how in the heck can a guy from Walmart, Rent-A-Cop, be anything forensic other than maybe the bathroom cleaners, maybe? So anyway, I just thought I'd put some real, real, no kidding, these are truth things that I know about this individual, and everything he says about us is just completely false. And he goes on these radio stations, and he has these interviews like he's some sort of an authority on these creatures. Ladies and gentlemen, the only authority he is on, he can't even tie his pants up right, okay? So don't even listen to the garbage. I get carried away sometimes, but don't listen to this garbage. This guy is nothing but a trash mouth liar, and he spews out all this garbage. Now, I normally don't get involved in this. He's done this for years already. So he has the only reputation. He thinks he's ruining his reputation. Ladies and gentlemen, before you can ruin a reputation, you have to have one. He has none. And he's using Tom's reputation as his corner post and accomplishment in life. And that's the truth. Anyway, got it off my chest. One thing, too. Like to say a shout-out. Well, we got two really great guys on tonight, Austin and Mitchell. They've been calling me all week, and they have been doing things. And Austin and Mitchell are high school, and they have a teacher, and his name is Ben. He's from Maryland. I'm not going to disclose anything else, but Ben is their teacher. He's an avid Bigfoot fan, and I told him that we would do a special shout-out just for Ben. And Ben, I want to tell you something. Anybody that can be a teacher today, man or woman, is a special person to me. Our children depend upon the great stuff that you guys do in school as teachers. And you certainly aren't in this for the money. We know that. They don't pay you enough. And I really, really respect anyone who spends their life in that type of a fulfilling career. Thank you, Ben, and a special shout-out just for you tonight. Well, Tom, I'm sorry to interrupt you with all this stuff, but here we go.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, Bill.
Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, well, Tom is just, he had to take a couple seconds there because he's probably trying to.
I'm trying to get in. It's open?
Okay. Trying to get in the car.
Yeah, I am. Oh, here it is. Cool. Do you mind driving? I'm on the show. Okay, cool.
But, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, before we start the show, go up to www.bigfootlive.com. And I want you to, there's all kinds of pictures up there tonight, all kinds of links with the little slideshows and things. We have a video from our good friend Dave from Four Corners. We have tree formations from our good friends Tim Anthony. Okay. And you got to look at these things. They're completely different states. We're talking about, you know, Mississippi, and we're talking about Virginia. And take a look at those tree formations and tell me that it's something else. It's something else, I'm telling you. But anyway, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Please bear with me. I just flown in. It's been a 10-hour flight, connecting. And I'm finally here, but I didn't want to miss this show. And what a surprise, Bill, I've got to tell you. And you normally don't get your feathers ruffled, but you had a mouthful, and God bless you, man. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, those who know Bill know that he doesn't bullshit.
You've got to turn that off. Your phone is on.
Bear with me, Bill.
That's okay. I can hear it's the Armin.
Trying
to give you directions on how to get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's just a madhouse. But nevertheless, I want to do a little PS on what you had to say. This individual, ladies and gentlemen, again, we're not going to mention his name because it's not worth it. But I'm going to tell you, any of his sightings that he's ever had has been all on our outings and on my company's dime. Trust me. Go see any of my movies. Go buy them, and you'll see him in some of the earlier ones, okay, where he says, oh, I heard him. I saw him. There he is, okay? And it's all because he went out on our dime. This guy didn't know what a print was, never made a cast of a print. We were in his own hometown, okay, back east, where he was out there looking and heard about all this stuff going on. The footprint that we casted, because he walked over the footprint, okay, in his own backyard, was found by my guys, all right? And that's the God's honest truth. But don't believe me. Go out and buy my movies, ladies and gentlemen, and you go see the earlier ones. He was in there, and you'll see him. Oh, there it is. Oh, I saw it. I saw it. There it is. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. And you're so right, Bill. And thank you for that. And you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a thing called defamation of character. There's a thing called slander and all of that kind of stuff. But what am I going to do by suing this guy? He's got no money. Bill told you. He doesn't have two nickels to rub together. The last time I understood, he was living in a basement of a relative's home, like a troll, like that he is. So, Bill, you know, let's make a vow. Starting today, let's not even
talk about this parasite because you hit it right on the head. That man cannot do anything on his own. He has never contributed, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bigfoot world. That's the biggest thing. Ask him. Ask this clown.
Well, listen to him. The only thing he ever does is badmouth, not just us, everybody. He has nothing good to say about anybody or about what anybody produces.
He's the big sleuth, okay? He's no more sleuth than you are, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Like Bill said, he's a candy store or a Walmart store security guard. My gosh. Let's go on with our lives, ladies and gentlemen. Our contributions to science, our contributions to the Bigfoot world, our contributions to society when it comes to Sasquatch, Bigfoot, and alike, okay, was all through what we've done throughout many, many years. He didn't infiltrate anything. Over here. Left. Well, here, just test that. You okay? All right, okay, yeah. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go on with the show and forget about this parasite. Who do we got on first guest, Bill?
Well, we got our favorite guys right here, Austin and Mitchell.
You know, I heard you get an introduction, and God bless you, Bill, for that. And you know, one of my sons is a school teacher, and he's done a heck of a job. And they're so dedicated, and they're underpaid, I might add, also, by the way. But it's the truth. So we got Austin and who?
Austin and Mitchell.
Yeah. Okay, you guys. How are you? Good evening.
Good evening. How are you guys today? It's more of a night around here, you know.
Yeah,
my
part. I know. Well, bring us up to date. What's been going on, fellas? Because I've been hearing an awful lot about the good work you guys have been doing.
Well, see, the thing is, Tom or Bill, I don't know which I'm talking to. Well, the thing is that we were up at a friend's house, Stevens, a couple nights ago, you know, about last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, something like that. We were back by a tree stand putting a chew in, and we hear this noise about 50 yards away, and sticks are getting thrown at us. So we were like, and we looked, and then we heard this real big howling noise, and we knew it wasn't a coyote or any other animal, you know? So we took off and dropped the chew and ran. It was crazy. And then the other night, me and my friend Mitchell was actually talking to Marco, and we actually had our first sighting that night. We heard stuff in the woods, and we called Marco, and that's what we should do. Well, my buddy Steven went down and checked it out, and we actually seen a big thing with glowing eyes. It was like a reddish-green kind of looking thing.
Orangish.
Yeah, orangish. It was
breathtaking.
No, it was really breathtaking.
So let me ask you this. When you saw this thing, how far up off the ground was it? Could you determine?
It was about eight feet.
About 8 feet. And how did you determine that? Did you go back later and measure it by the tree?
Yeah, we called pictures. You know, we actually got to call pictures. We didn't get to send them to you. We didn't have enough time. I didn't really have enough time in, you know, going to school and doing all my work and stuff.
It's been part of a roller coaster ride for you guys.
Yeah, it was actually our first thing. We never believed them until we heard that, and we flipped out, and, I mean, we were fucking out of there, you know. It scared the shit out of us.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, like I tell everybody for the first time, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, son.
It's real. No one believes it. No one believes it, but, I mean, after that sighting, man, I don't even want to go back in the fucking woods or anything.
Yeah. You know what? We believe it. And the
people around the globe
who listen to us, they believe it. They're a part of our family. So you know what? You guys now are a part of our family too, okay?
And we appreciate that. I love being a part of the Bigfoot family.
Thank you so much. Now look, you guys, keep us in touch. Let us know everything that's going on. And we'll be sure to inform everybody, okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much. Squatch you later, man.
And Austin and Mitchell, at the end of the show, we have about a 5 or 10 minute period that we get together and talk with everybody. And I've already got a lot of, like a couple of emails because they've seen your name in the listing for the show.
Yeah.
And they're anxious about listening to you guys, or maybe asking you some questions. So if you don't mind, if you can stay to the end of the show, we'd be more than happy to have you on as when we get
we'll
into the
We'll be more than happy to. We really will.
Okay. I'm going to meet you out right now then, buddy.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Watch you all later.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us. Who's next, Bill?
Our next guest didn't make it on here. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to Dave from Four Corners.
One more. And one.
Go that way.
That's it.
Dave.
Yep, Dave's here.
Hey, Dave, Mr. Ortiz. How are you?
I'm doing good, Tom.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we're all in a little disarray here. One part of the country, the other one's in another part of the country, but we're all here. It's called that modern miracle of electronic phones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, communication has just expanded so much in just the past relatively short few years. It's amazing that we can communicate so easily now. You know, compared to
it is. Now listen, without any further ado, because you know you've got me at the edge of my chair. I saw that film. I saw a great job that you're doing. Bring us up to date. What's happening?
Well, basically the same thing's going on. There hasn't been any more sightings like in that degree by any means now, unfortunately. But we're still getting a lot of reports of yelling. You know, the howling, a lot of vocalizations in general. We had a lot of rain in this area. I mean, tremendous amounts of rain, and we've been looking for tracks, and we did see some out in Saley, Arizona, when me and Brenda went out there, but everything gets washed away so quick. You know, whatever tracks were there, you know, like really dominant, will just be just, you know, destroyed by rain, but there are signs all around. And
the big question I've got for you, Dave, is when I watched that creature go across the plateau there or the grounds, uh-huh. It ended up under a camper shell. Did you get a chance to look over there?
You know what? We were going to go over there, and we found out that it was private property, and there was some human occupation nearby. I think Brenda wanted to go talk to those people. You know, we didn't want to just – actually, I didn't get on that side of the road because we did a preliminary follow-up of measurements and stuff. So she told me that she didn't want to approach those people right away and, you know, just trample all over their property, but she wanted to go, you know, just kind of do some chit-chat first and get them to feel comfortable with what's happening.
I see. Okay, so there's really been no other follow-up in that particular area then, has there?
Right. We're kind of waiting. There's actually a family that lives right there. They're the ones that informed me about this purported Bigfoot that was walking through the hillside and in the flatland there. And I actually bought a HD camera, a video camera, because I got so excited. I want to, you know, get better zoom and clarity now. So it's like what I was using, a Canon DSLR camera that has a movie function on it, and it did very well. But, you know, they have some shortcomings. So I said, you know what, today I'm just going to go get a video camera. So, because this thing could happen, anything like this can happen again. So I'm going to be more prepared.
Yeah, when you least expect it. I totally agree with you. Okay, Dave, well, anything new to report besides what it's on that film? And by the way, has any cynics, any skeptics, any believers come through and say that, wow, great job or what?
Well, I haven't had any extreme negativity. I've had some people say, well, are you sure it's not just a human? And I said, well, that's why we went out. And I did have about three people out in the field on that doing that exact – there was a trail that we found. And the two people that are walking, they were about 5'6", maybe. They looked very small. Now, Brenda's son, I think, is like 5'10", 5'11", and he looked closer to the size of this thing, but he still wasn't the same size. But there was a little better match, but this creature is obviously taller and bigger than a human.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, keep us aware of what's going on in that neck of the woods. And, you know, I'm sorry that we couldn't hook up that day because, you know, my guy was willing, ready and able to be there the next morning.
Yeah. And I was going to tell you about that. There is another area that's very hot, and I probably need to explain it in confidentiality, but there is another spot that's really – that these people want him to be there.
Fantastic. So later on, please give me a call.
Okay.
And, you know, because he's not that far from you.
Right.
And he's jumping at the bits to be out there and help you guys.
Okay. Yeah, I've left some messages with him, but he hasn't returned them, so I'm thinking he's probably out in the field. But I will get a hold of him very shortly.
Well, get a hold of me first, because
okay.
he won't go out unless he talks to me first on what's going on.
Okay.
That's Dave, and then, listen, mute yourself out. I'm sure there'll be a lot
Tom,
of
Tom, there's one more thing that Dave has. Dave, I posted your brochure poster on the website for people to look at, and it's up there tonight. And basically on the 28th and 29th of September, you're going to have Brenda, and they're going to have a Bigfoot symposium there. And if everybody take a look at that brochure that I've got posted up there, the link, it explains all of the details, everything.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, that's wonderful, Dave. That starts the end of this month?
Yes, sir. You're more than welcome.
Who do you got coming?
Let me look at the roster again. Let's see here. What did I do with that? Sorry, caught me unawares here a little bit. I had the brochure. We changed the brochure a little bit, I believe. Brenda did. Oh, boy. Can't find my keys.
It says the first annual Northern New Mexico Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference, September 28th, 29th.
We had William Barnes for one.
It's got Brenda Harris, Jesus Jr., Scott Nelson, Sally Ramey, Jeffrey Teagle, William Barnes.
Right. By the way, Jesus Jr. is a former member of the Breaking Bad TV series. He was on the first season. And
who's William Barnes? I've heard that name before.
He has the Balloon Project.
Yeah. Okay, I remember him. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And what about Scott Nelson? Wasn't he a reporter?
That I don't know. I haven't checked up on him yet, to be honest with you. Actually, Brenda just gave me the brochures today. And then I had to rush to Colorado, so I didn't really get a chance to see who all these people were.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, great. Keep your fingers on the pulse and let us know how things, and send us lots of pictures, okay?
Okay, sure will. If you're around the neighborhood, stop by.
I wish, you know, I've got so many things in the hopper right now, Dave, you have no clue. And with the migration period coming up next month, it has been so busy for us I'm waiting for a call tomorrow for London. So things have just been moving very rapidly. And as you know, okay, but believe me, I'd love to be there with you and the guys up there. Give everybody our love. And by the way, Bill, I'm going to be going into the upper mountain right now, so I'm not going to have any coverage at all. So if you would be kind enough to take the show from here, I'd really appreciate it. God bless you. And tell all the rest of our guests that next week I'll be on for sure, and hopefully, anyway, knock on wood. And thanks for the participation. Till next time, America.
Okay, everybody, Tom had a dropout, and here we go. We're going to go on to our next guest, Tim from Mississippi. Tim, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hello, how you doing? How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
All right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Tim has sent me some photographs. There's about 6 photographs, if you take a look, up on www.bigfootlive.com and go to what's on this week under the listing for each guest, under listing for Tim from Mississippi. You're going to see a link that'll take you to a slideshow, and it will show you some tree formations. And a bunch of other things there. So I think you'll like it. What's going to be amazing is when you look at Tim's tree formation pictures, and then our next guest, Anthony, has some pictures. And guess what? you're just going to be amazed. There's so much likeness on two completely different states, two completely different territories, same kinds of formations. So it's pretty neat. Okay, Tim, tell us what's happening, what you've been up to.
Well, really nothing new since the last time. You know,
review it, sir, because not everybody is on here tonight knows what took place.
Okay, well, there's this area I went to three times. Okay, the first time my son and I went, that was a time when we walked down the trail and came back through and we found the two feathers on the trail. And that was kind of all that happened that time. The second time was when we had the rock thrown at us. And we smelled this very, you know, this skunky, it was like a strong, skunky, wet dog at the same time type odor. And anyway, both times it just kind of made us freak out, you know, and we was like run up out of there, you know.
Sure.
And the third time was when I told you I had, you know, that was where I took the last formation, I think, the big eggs. I think it shows my son. I didn't even know he was in the picture. It shows him kind of beating on a tree. But anyway, I took that one in Mississippi, and those first two, those were actually taken in Alabama in a pretty big city, you know. So I just thought that was odd, you know, it was like in the middle of a city, you know, and I actually went over into the area and I saw, you know, more signs. I saw some more broken off trees. And I saw one skinny tree completely pushed over, like from the bottom. And if you will notice on those first photos,
yes.
You will notice that at first it was just like kind of bent. And on the other one, it was almost like something came back and pulled on it again or something, because you notice it kind of splintered out. That's the same tree. You notice on one where it's just kind of smooth, and then it kind of, I came back a few days, you know, and it was like splintered out. I didn't know if that was natural or what. You know, I didn't know. I just thought it was odd. So
well, let's think about this now. What would be natural that would bend a tree without having heavy winds? There were no storms.
Right. Exactly. And that's the weird thing. If you notice, that's the only other tree that's even bent like that in both of those areas, you know.
Right. And you got to look at, you know, what certain animals can do. Obviously,
right.
A deer couldn't do that.
Right.
So there's a lot of things you have to take a look at and consider. But when you narrow it down to those few things, then it becomes, you know, it you can't explain it that easy now. Then it gets more difficult to explain.
And actually, I have some more photos that I was going to send you from that spot in Mississippi. There were like, it was almost like you could see them down the trail. But that's when I told you that we just stopped, you know, because. My son's little dog, he has a little dog named Milo, and anyway, he had kind of went on down the trail a little bit further while we were taking pictures of that one, the last one that you see, and all of a sudden the little dog just comes running, you know, back down the trail, and my son, he's like, what's wrong with him? And I was like, okay, that's when, you know, I try not to upset. As a matter of fact, after I experienced what I did last time, I decided I wouldn't even, because I was a skeptic, you know what I mean? I didn't really know if it was or not, but once I started experiencing all that stuff, I was like, I wasn't going to take him back there with me anymore. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, because, I didn't really think I was going to experience anything. I just went back there. I had my phone, whatever, you know. But since then, you know, I guess you can say, I don't know. It's like I saw it was real, you know. Because I couldn't think of any other animal that could throw things at you and things like that, you know. So I was like, whoa.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at it, you got to look. Then you look at how big were the things they were throwing.
Right.
And can a human do that?
That's the thing. This area I'm going into is like, I know unless there's someone back there just, you know, it's like each time I went back there, it was never planned. You know what I mean? It was like I have to actually drive to go see my son. You know, it's like, you know, they live in another state. I live in another state. And that's the only way it could have been a human or someone like knew I was coming. You know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, because, you know, and then that other picture, that was the last one. Well, you know the one?
Yeah.
That last one I sent you, that one, that was the last picture I took back there, I think, you know, so.
Well, they're all good pictures.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you right now for doing that. And
okay,
what we're going to do is Anthony has some pictures as well. We're going to go to Anthony next. And then shortly after that, I'm going to go to Jody. And then when we're done with Joe, we're going to go into the conference. And then what I want you guys to do is you're going to see how, you know, how much similarity there is in the pictures that both of you sent in. It's uncanny. But thank you, Tim. And
no problem.
See you here in a little bit.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Tim from Mississippi. Now we're going to go out to Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, how are you?
A little tired. Had to work late, Marco Bill, but I hope you're doing well.
Oh, I'm doing great. Hey, those pictures you sent were just really neat. Again, I tried to get the links to there's a whole raft of pictures that you sent us about 2 years ago. I just didn't have time to put them up. But I think I will, just so people can take a look at all the different kinds of formations. Now, Chris, you remember Chris from Arkansas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Chris also sent us back a few months back some pictures. So we have quite a bit of pictures on tree formations and different variations of tree twists and layers and everything. And it's really amazing. It's really an amazing thing when you look at all this stuff and you put it all together.
Actually, with the pictures of Tim that you had posted, when I saw those pictures, I thought you had accidentally put
yours up there, right?
Pictures. Yeah, because you know I remember sending you pictures with a little contractor fence, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw that little fence, and I'm like, well, I think you put my picture there. I realized there was differences there, but it is amazing how they're identical.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, isn't it? Well, how you been doing this last week?
Oh, been real busy at work, and you know, and then just trying to.
And your friend recovering.
Yeah.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, his friend hurt his back pretty bad, and he's unable to work, I guess, huh?
Well, he's been working, but he's been just taking it very, very easy. He's not, I don't think he's, you know, 100%, you know. Some things that require him to, you know, to get out of the truck, I think he's just staying in his truck.
Right.
You know. But
and what that is, the reason I brought that up is, when you're out there searching for Bigfoot, and you're out there in the wild, you got to kind of be careful on lifting things and pushing things. And what happened is he pushed against a tree, and it didn't move so fast, but his back did, and it crunched him up. And so he's really suffering, you know, a lot of pain, and that's really a horrible thing. So you got to kind of be careful when you're out there tripping around in the woods and lifting things and doing things that you don't normally do. It's real easy to get whacked out. What else? What do you got planned here, Anthony?
Gonna try to. I don't know what his schedule is like for this weekend, but maybe, you know. Just to go back up there and see if there's any differences from this past weekend that we were there. As you can see, he let one of those pitches, you know, he hadn't been able to get on his rod mower, so the grass is a little tall. But once, you know, as soon as we thought of going towards the wooded area of his property, you know, we noticed, as you can see from one of the pictures, you know, that, you know, something had come through and, you know, made a path in that tall grass.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, we found that interesting. So right away, you know, we went back there, and so, you know, there was the few pictures gives you an idea that these were new breaks, these were new formations. There was quite a lot of out of place there. I mean, things, you know, even he said there's a lot of things that were different. Now, and I think I remember telling you in the past shows that, you know, that he had set out some tires one time and then they had disappeared. And then when he went into the wooded area of his property, he just found that the three tires laid out. And this time when we were there, I noticed something, you know, that I thought wasn't there before. And I said, hey, you know, there's another tire there. And I said, was that there before? He says, no. He says, you know, he mentioned that he doesn't have any tires that have white walls on them. You know?
No.
So we went back to...
The one picture, you got a tuft of grass, and it looks like a trail through the grass. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
They're back there. They're still there. We were looking for prints, and, you know, we did find a lot of impressions and stuff like that, but, you know, just like everybody else, we want the, you know, we're trying to look for the one with the five toes. You know, I found it that first time, but we didn't have Plaster of Paris. But this time we were prepared, and we couldn't find, a good print to cast.
Oh, wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It is. I'm sure one day we'll get closer and closer, but I do appreciate the Dave's video. I saw that video. I thought that was pretty cool.
You know what's amazing about that? And Dave is the one that brought my attention to it. When you look at it, there's a road right next to where he's walking.
Oh.
And it's not walking on the road. It's walking on the rough rocks. See, the road is smooth and not lumpy and rocky. Off-road is all rocks and all kinds of stuff, real hard walking. And that creature is walking through the hard spots all the way, not even coming on the road at all.
Oh.
If you watch that, it's pretty neat.
Must have some serious padding on that foot.
And he makes a pretty good, if you take a look at the distance that thing is covering over that period of time, that's a pretty, I mean, it looks like he's just walking real slow, right? But I'm going to tell you something. You take a look at the distance that thing walked and traveled in the amount of time that it was there. It's pretty significant. It didn't take him very long to get there.
No, it didn't.
So,
imagine if he was running.
Yeah, I know. No, he wasn't running. You could see him walking. I mean, and he wasn't really looking like he was really straining either, just walking normal. But you see, that's what the thing is that when you look at that, then if you were to take, let's say, a normal human, let's say a six-foot human, and put them down there and take a photo, or take a video of a six-foot human walking in the same path that creature's walking, and for the same amount of time, for a period of time, and I'm going to bet you, then's where you're going to realize how big, how big a step these creatures take, how much reach their feet have when they're walking. I mean, it's unbelievable sometimes. When we measure these things, they measure out anywhere from 40-some to 50-some inches. I mean, that's big. I mean, that's a long step between footprints, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Even with boots on, you know, you can't cover that type of ground in that rough rock.
No, I know. Well, anyway, I just want to thank you for coming on the show again,
sure,
and keeping us up to speed and sending us these pictures. And I'll keep in touch with you through the week. And if anything happens, give me a call.
Yes,
and we'll get everything ready again.
Sure.
I'm going to meet you out here temporarily, and then in a few minutes, after our next guest, we'll be doing the open conversation.
All righty.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, Anthony from Virginia. Now we're going to go out here, and we're going to go to a special old person we've had for many, many, oh my gosh, how many, I can't remember how long. It's been so long. Jody, how are you?
I am doing okay. And I tell you, like I said, I'm getting stronger about it, and I'm so still obsessed. It's like I lived with him 5 years, like I've told you.
Sure.
And
I'd like to do, a lot of people have never heard you before, and they've never heard your kind of like your experience. And
we'll
try to abbreviate this, but try to tell people a little bit of your background and what happened, and now you've moved, you know, since then you've moved, but now you're in an area where they have these creatures
there,
as
they're
well.
They're here too. Yes,
yep.
Very here.
Why don't you tell people that? A quick overview of your whole story, you and Jane.
Yeah, living in Kentucky 5 years, a little over 5 years, and it started the first night we moved in. And I remember at midnight. And it never stopped. They didn't migrate, like I said. They stayed around all year. And they weren't scared of us. And when I first started seeing them close up that, you know, face, I always submitted to them. I bow my head, you know, my eyes off of them. So so I didn't want to look him in the eye.
Right. So submissive stance. When you don't look them in the eyes and you bow your head so
let
that
them
you're...
win. I always let them win.
Right.
And they're very smart and intelligent. And when I started learning about them, learning their ways, and it took me a long time, the calls, how what they meant, the yelps, what they meant, and how they're territorial on each hill, mountain or rural property. Like our clan, they stayed there. And I've heard them fight with other clans when they wanted to cross.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the worst, I've had bad experience a lot with them then. But when I held it, like I said, I was only a few feet from it. And that's when I knew it was coming down. I heard it coming off the mountain and breaking trees on the way down. And I said, get in the house. And I had the glass door open, just the glass door was, you know, you could see full view. And all of a sudden, I heard you felt death and evil and dread before it comes. I could feel this every time before I know it's coming. And come up the steps. And that was my worst experience because I felt cornered and I was going to die that night. That's hard to talk about. Because that's not, I was going to die.
Right.
Because I was going to die for everybody in the house. Jane, I got between her and it. With a stupid 380 that jammed.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this is really going to be it. And it was creaking the glass. I mean, it shook the house when it walked up the steps. It actually shook the floor. And when I tripped through that coffee table to grab that gun, I was only a few feet from it. And I studied that thing, and I stared in the eyes. And I do believe what some Indians say, don't look it in the eye. And it just obsessed on me. I mean, like I was deep going, like in his soul or mind, you know, it was like,
yep.
I couldn't take my eyes off it. It wouldn't take his eyes off me. It was showing his teeth. I could set his hands, his body. And it was not going to back down either. It was, that was going to come in. And I did hold a gun on it. And I never would ever do that because that was threatening them. And I thought, well, there was more than one outside. It wasn't just that one. And that's the night I really felt death. I felt death, and I was going to shoot this gun that jammed. I actually was going to pull the trigger because it was going to come in, and it's like I can't explain that feeling with those eyes, and they weren't glowing because it was out of the dark. It was in the light on the front porch, and it was leaning against the glass, and all our lights were on in the house. It was good view. I mean, perfect. And when you're only a few feet, I mean, when I say a few feet, it was face to face. And it was, I thought that was going to be the going down. We were going to die. If I pull this trigger, we're going to die. And I was going to die first, no matter what. If it come down to that, I already planned it. It's like, well, okay, I'm going to die first. Because I'm not going to let Jane die first. It was going to be me. She wouldn't turn around low. She kept her head down the whole time. She was so scared.
Uh-huh.
And they do no cameras. They're not stupid because when Jane and that other person was putting up a camera on the barn with the goats, I was in the house because I just had surgery on my leg, and I was watching on the camera from the other tape, watching them put the camera up, face the goat building. It was over 10 feet tall, standing behind them, leaning like a person would against a tree with one arm, had its leg caught, like standing there like a someone cocky, okay? And it's over 10 feet, at least 10 feet or more, and big. And Jane turned a spotlight on it. We had a big spotlight. And she turned, because she was watching the guy put up the camera, and she turned around real quick. And I was watching her on TV, like, darn it, what are you doing? You know, I was freaking out, and I was like, don't take it off of it. And it was standing right there, and it was watching them put up cameras. It watches people. It knows what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned back around, and it was still standing there. Then she turned back around. I asked her, I said, why didn't you tell that person to turn around? She was, I was afraid they'd leave me. And, you know, because she gets scared, too. You know, she's been pretty scared. She had her moments,
sure,
too. And I know started learning them, so I started feeding them fish, you know, salmon.
Yeah.
And even in the daytime, they were out waiting. they weren't like sleeping at day and walking at night. They were out in the day too.
They're out all times.
And it would toss the can back at me. You know, it didn't try to hit me or nothing. And I took people. I know their markings and their trails, what it means when you follow that trail. And when they come, when I go to feed it and the others, salmon, it was like I would, Jane would be below me on the mountain and I'd be standing halfway up. And it would just toss the can real easy back at me and I'd put the new can back down for it. You know, salmon. I was trying to make, like, peace with them. Like, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You know, just respect me. It was kind of like letting them know I'm not, you, I didn't understand their language. Because they could speak human like us, but they couldn't understand it. And boy, could they grunt and scream, too. You know, to raise your hair. But they would speak like a human language that I could never explain to you. But it was human sounding. And I did feed them. I didn't know if it was wrong or not. But they never left. And so I had to keep feeding them. And they would kill all my other neighbor's animals.
Once all this happened, then it got pretty bad for a while, and then you folks moved, right?
Yeah, these men in black came to the house. And a helicopter that wasn't marked, like the police helicopters or private helicopters. There was no license number on it. And they were all dressed the same, with sunglasses, black. I mean, it was weird.
Yep.
And I was face-to-face with them. And I did hold a .357 in their face. I laid on my hands on the Bible. I was going to shoot one of them if they were going to take me away. Because they scared me.
Sure.
It was like, they know what I saw. And they know I live with them. And I know the markings with branches, trees. And tomorrow, I am so obsessed. I am going back up this mountain tomorrow. I am going to follow their markings. No, I'm scared. I took people before on our property that I told them to listen to me. You do what I say. I said,
that's
I'm serious because they'll throw rocks. And they could hurt us. And I said, so if I take you to this one area, and this stupid-ass Marine, excuse my language, did not listen. I said, please put the camera down. It's blocking our path, and it's tossing rocks right beside us. You can hear them all talking. And I didn't think about looking up in the tree. You know, I was trying to look straight ahead and around me to find them. And I didn't think to look up on the tree, because they do climb trees.
Yep, we know that.
And it's like, the most human-looking thing, I call them all humans, like, but they're evil to me. They're very, something about them when you look them in the eye.
Now, Jody, let me ask you a question about that. You know, the ones that you were familiar with, were they all more human-like?
Oh, yeah.
More human
features? They never had a monkey face
that. You see, the reason I ask you is there are several different species of this thing that we're aware of, because even our DNA is different on some of them, okay? And there's one or two DNAs that we have that are ancient human, and it's 15,000 years or more. And it's ancient human. But then there's two other species we have that are different DNA from each other, all of them. But they're not human, and they're not ape, okay?
Oh, I know
so they're not. But they're about two genomes from human, or one's two genomes from human, the other is three genomes from human. So they're all different from each other. The other thing the other is from the sightings we get from people. And there's descriptions. There are some that are more like a orangutan-looking, flat-faced orangutan, reddish kind of fur.
Yeah, they had reddish-brown hair, but it looked like they
Hair. I'm talking about the facial features. Where, like, you know, you see orangutan on the, you know, you remember Clint Eastwood, the movie he made with that orangutan?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it looked like that. That's what they described it as. And it was orangutan looking, more monkey looking. And then we had an experience where it was identified as a billy ape, which there's no such thing in America, but that's what it was. It was the DNA specifically proved it was a billy ape, which, and it's about a 6 foot. It's a 6 foot, like a chimpanzee, a giant chimpanzee. That's what it is. And its feet are like a chimp. It's not like human. They're big and powerful. And
big, big trees.
Yeah, and then there's a dog face version. And then there's two other versions. There's smaller ones, you know, like real small, like three, four feet. And then smaller version that's real wiry. Okay, I have pictures of two of those. And then there's another one that's sort of like 5 foot, 6 foot, but they're thinner. They're not real heavy. They're real thin. So all those different kinds, they all appear to be different creatures, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But the ones that you've seen were pretty much all the same, right?
Yes, and they were very intelligent. I don't call them an animal, because we're like animals.
Well, let's open this up for everybody right now so everyone can have a chance to answer questions. I'm going to, Tim, you're unmuted. Let's see, Anthony, you're unmuted. Dave, you're unmuted. Oops, I just lost Mitchell and Austin. Their battery was having a problem with the thing. They're going to dial back in, don't worry. And Steve, are you on there, buddy?
I'm always here, Marco.
Okay, so we got everybody on here. Steve, Tim, Jay, Jody, Anthony, and Dave.
Right here.
Hey there.
Does anybody have a question for Jody?
Well, I'd like to say, with your experiences, I'm glad that you're still here to talk about them. Please be careful with your future adventures out there.
Yes, and I mean, it's like now since I looked in the eyes, it made it worse where I am so, like Jane said, I'm so obsessed. I'm going to, I just like I could try, I don't know how I know. It's just like this feeling I get before they come. And I can't explain it. I feel like dread, death, doom, but I still want to go after them and find out what they want. It's like, when I was, they have left me a gift. Like, out of stone. Sandstone, like kind of, like grinding tool, like grind corn. And, and another stone with a perfect hole, like to make a necklace out of, or whatever they use the floor. They leave it on my, and I leave them food. But it was like, they would never hurt my animals, but they go to all my neighbors and kill the cows, the horses, broke dogs' necks, cows' necks. They were hurting those animals, but I was trying to keep them, our animals safe by showing them, here, I'll give you food. Just don't hurt me. And don't hurt people I love. And I did. You know, I don't care about myself at night, even had to go out and work on the pump. And they were so close, Jane was watching them toss with a light straw over my head. That's how close they would be to me while I'm working on the pump. It's like they always watched us day and night. They watched me build my barn by myself. They watched me do everything. And they actually took my solid steel hammer and twisted it. And I can't explain that. That's strong. I've seen them break trees.
Hey, Jody, you know, we got Austin and Mitchell on. And does anybody have any questions for Austin and Mitchell?
I want to know if they understand the markings.
Austin and Mitchell, they just recently had a visual encounter about 50 yards, something like that, in the backyard. As a matter of fact, his friend's backyard.
And I like to ask them if they understand the filming, how if they learn how to film them like I did. I had to trick them.
Well, they're not. I mean, Jody, they haven't done any of that yet. What's happened was, I mean, this is just like, you know, when you get your first time and you go out. I mean, they're not even expecting to see anything and sitting in the backyard waiting for a friend in the house. And they hear this noise and then they look over and, go ahead. Austin, go tell how you, a little more detail how you saw this creature.
Well, see, the thing is, our friend Steven was in the house. We walked up to go get Steven. We figured, you know, while we're waiting on him, he's like, yeah, I'll be a little bit because he had to go eat dinner. We went on an adventure walk back in his woods on his four-wheeler trails and stuff. Went back to his deer stand. Well, we went back there in his deer stand, and he's sitting there, and me and Mitchell sitting there, you know, doing our thing. And we hear this loud footsteps, and we have one sighting of a black bear up here. So we're like, all right, maybe it's just a black bear. Then sticks and rocks start getting thrown at us. And we're like, okay, this is getting pretty weird. And then we hear, like, really big heavy footsteps and rustling. And it sounded like a tree was kind of, you know, getting knocked over. And then it sounded like it got caught in another tree. So we're like, okay, maybe a tree just fell down. That's what it was, and sticks and branches are falling off at us. Well, we look back in the woods, and next thing you know, we hear this running. And we're like, okay, you know, that sounds like a human. So we thought it was our friend Steven messing with us. Next thing you know, we had a little visual encounter. We seen, like, this really, like, brownish, reddish fur, kind of. I don't know how to really explain it. It was like a, like you said, a orangutan fur. And So we took off running. And we were scared, you know, crapless. And
we were petrified.
We were petrified very bad. Sure. And we just went down, and we went back to school, and we were like, dude, I think we just got Bigfoot. And that's when we called you and Marco. And,
sure.
And that's when we had our encounter. And then the next night, we were up doing the same thing waiting on him. We're like, all right, well, let's call Marco and see if we can do anything. That night, when we were on the phone, Mitchell was talking to him. Me and my friend Steven walked down, and we heard something in the woods. We're like, all right, because Steven was like, dude, I really doubt it's a Bigfoot. And I'm like, I think it is. We went down there, and that's when we had our big visual encounter with it. We seen the reddish, orangish eyes looking at us, and they're glowing. About
8 foot tall.
About 8 foot tall, 9 foot. It made us a little dizzy when we looked in its eyes.
Sure.
It was a little dizzy. And so we're like, okay. So we, like, ran back up to Steven's porch. And we're like, okay, well, this is a little weird, you know? And, you know, that's how we had our first visual encounter with it.
Yeah.
And then we started seeing, we went back because Mark had told us where to go, like go back to the spot like during the day or something and look and see if there's any twisted trees and stuff. We've seen two twisted trees and one giant footstep in the mud. And that's when we knew that we had experienced Bigfoot.
Yeah. Pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, we're thinking about starting to, you know, put a trail cam up or something and look for them and all that stuff.
Yep.
But like you said, they're pretty smart. And a marketer said that they're pretty smart and they know when they're being recorded and stuff. And they might even break the trail cam. And that's an expensive trail cam we were going to put up just to have it broken. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we've had one in the, it actually was in Arizona where we had it about 8 foot up in the tree and it smashed the front of the camera. And then it climbed up the tree and peed in it.
Yeah, we heard about that. Yeah, we heard about that story.
Yeah. We had the urine analyzed, and it was kind of neat.
Have you or anybody else, like, seen, like, there's white ones, beige ones, and black ones, like black people and white people? That's what, they were different. Some were the black face ones, and then there's white face ones. Like human color face, white.
Yeah, different skin colors, right?
Right, like white and black people, but very big and strong, you know. And you can a thud on the ground. They walk thud. I mean, it would just be loud. And I could, I would call them. People say, yeah, do it. And I would. And it wouldn't take long. And I go, oh, dear, you know, what I done? And, you know, and that's when they would come on the, you know, porch lot. At that time, that was the scariest. And I just, though there's a lot of scary moments with them, but. Even when I said it was scary because I didn't know what to do. I was doing
some of the neat things about this, and I think I've said this before, but they can mimic other animals, or sometimes just their own whistles and howls are very.
And
the thing is, the thing that sets them apart from each other, from other things, is that when you hear a whistle or a mimic of an animal, I mean, you're not talking about like it's a real. Vibrant and loud.
Way
more higher than it would be for the natural animal to do that. And that's what kind of throws it off. And it's also not exactly the same as it's close to it, but you can detect the differences. It's not real. It's not a real animal.
But how
you know,
smart
call.
They are.
Yeah.
This guy would whistle a tune, and it would actually whistle the same thing back.
Yeah, I know. We had that happen before, too.
one of the other things that happens, really, this is really strange. We had a young man from Massachusetts on here about 2 weeks ago in Austin, and this is for Austin and Mitchell. And one of the things that happened was he had lost his tennis ball, a little tennis ball that he used. It was an orange mm-hmm. tennis ball. And he was putting food out on a stump, okay? And he
yeah.
put food out on a stump and different kinds of food, and they set their camera up. And as long as they set the camera up, they'd get pictures of, you know, smaller animals and things digging at the food. But there's one, like, they put, like, a peanut butter jar with the cover on it, and they put a fruit jar with some fruit inside of it with the cover on it, and it wasn't touched. Then he took the camera away, and the next morning, guess what? The peanut butter jar was gone, and they found, you know, part of it opened. They couldn't find the cover. And the fruit jar was opened, and all the fruit was gone. And so things like that. Well, guess what? His tennis ball disappeared because it was down there. He set it down there alongside the stump. And about a week later, he goes back there, and guess what? His tennis ball is back there again, set up there like a present. So that was pretty neat. So they do gifting. You know, they do gifting, and they take gifts.
And they'll charge you, and they'll back up. They charged us a lot, me and Jane and some people that come down. They would charge, and then they'd go back up. Then they'd charge, go back up, you know. And it would pull our back door open and broke the lock. And
Tim,
it was about the floor.
Tim, you've listened to some of this stuff. And you've heard Anthony. Did you hear Anthony, what he said about your pictures?
Uh-huh.
I thought I had mistakenly taken his pictures.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they weren't similar, yeah.
Yeah, real similar. And there's a lot of things.
If you or anybody else wants to get a film of them, the way to trick them, you have to put a camera out in the open. Because I've seen, in the middle of the day, they took the bucket I was feeding them out of, the 5-gallon bucket, and you know those cameras that goes off every few seconds, that was past it. It would toss the bucket right in front of that camera exactly and make it go off in midair. And then did whatever it had to do. It was real quick. And so it was like, Jane, I'm going to trick them. I'm learning everything they're doing now. I'm going to play their game. I'm going to go their way. And I did, and I started learning them. It scared Jane a lot. She thought I was going to die a lot out there. But I was so, I couldn't just take it out of my head. It was like something that's there, and it's never going to leave me. And it's still there, and it's strong, and it's here now. And I'm going to find out. And I will know where they're going. I'm going tomorrow morning, and I will know.
Please be careful.
And it's something I just have to do. And I don't care. I've lost everything, and I don't care anymore. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Well, I know, Jody. You've been through a lot of stuff. Austin and Mitchell, what are you guys thinking about doing now? Has this gotten your interest any at all?
Yeah, we actually want to start looking for Mick, but especially after all the stories we heard today.
Yeah, good. Well, you know, what I wanted to tell you was we have a lot of people here that these are all people in our Bigfoot family. And they come and visit us occasionally and come on the show and they catch us up to date with things. And many of them have turned to as a research project based on their personal experience, just like you guys. And they got what we call bitten by the Bigfoot bug. And it becomes a part of your life. I mean, you just can't get rid of it. Listen to Jody. I mean, Jody is just as scared as she was. She's still drawn to it. She can't get away from it.
I can't. Those eyes.
I
stared in those eyes, that did it. And we got scared. It was like forever, it felt.
Yeah. Tim, are you the same? You going to continue doing some research, this research and stuff?
Yeah, man, but I'm kind of like Jody, man. It kind of freaked me because you got to remember, I'm like really totally like not expecting these things to happen. And it's still kind of like, I guess you could say, sinking in. And each time I found something, it was almost like, I'm not going to say, it was almost like accidental. Like each time I, like the second time when we went, when we got something thrown at us, I had said then I'm not going back there anymore, but it was like when I got there that next weekend, yeah. I sit there for a second and I was like, I just got to go back there and see what happens. You know, I just want to go see what would happen, you know. And that was a time, you know, when the other stuff I told you about happened, you know, it was crazy.
What I'd like everybody to think about here while we're on the air, just before we got to close the show here shortly, but I'd like everybody to think about where everybody's located. Jody, you're in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I live in the mountains.
Tim, you're in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you're in the Four Corners, New Mexico. Oh, Dave isn't here. He had to leave. Anthony, you're in Virginia.
Right.
Steve, where are you? You're in Arizona somewhere, right, buddy?
I'm on the Arizona-California border.
Yeah. You see, all these people in different, completely different, I mean, talk about terrain differences. But, I mean, think about this. Nearly every one of you guys have had a visual encounter and other encounter experiences, footprints, tree formations, all other kinds of things, visual encounters itself.
And rocks and
can you see this? These creatures are out there. They're all over. I mean, they're everywhere. You see, we haven't got a state that these creatures have not been, other than Hawaii. Hawaii is the only state that we haven't got a report from, you see. And so it's an amazing thing that these creatures exist in our midst, and we, till this day, we still have not identified them as a species. Now, isn't that sad?
Is anybody, when you hear the knocks, there'll be like two to three knocks, and then on another hill you hear it, and in another hill you hear it, it's like they're calling each other or warning there's humans around, and it's like they're telephone to me. It's like a telephone to me.
Yeah, it's like kind of some of the tribal things in some of the other countries where they use drums to communicate.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a similar
do
kind
that.
Of thing. They use a tree knock to communicate.
Yes.
And howls. They communicate with howls and whistles as well.
Yes.
I've heard a lot of tree knocks around here before.
Yes.
Yep. So you see, and there's so many different things, so many things we don't know about these creatures. And
that's
we've
why
been
I
doing this for like...
Yeah,
we've been doing this for a long time. And we've had many encounters with these things. We've had a lot of evidence that we've collected, hair, skin, other bones, skeletal remains, other things that we've got in our stockpile. And guess what? It's all there. I mean, it's amazing. Well, everybody, I want to thank you. I want to, that was some of the things we're going to put in the museum. But, I mean, it's all the evidence that we have collected. And there's many other people out there that have collected evidence. I mean, not just us. There's many other people out there that have collected different evidence and footprints and castings and other things. And how many years, you see? And, I mean, so, you know, the reality of this and it being real is so uncanny. And, I can't imagine how this creature could exist for thousands of years, and we have not identified. Now, if you talk to Native Americans, they are very close-held about these creatures. In fact,
they don't
call them creatures either. They don't. They don't like them to be called creatures. Many of them calling them a creature or other names is disrespectful to them. They refer to them as elders, as teachers. Okay.
That's the kind of way I feel. They're human. They're so human to me.
Well, yes, and that's what they refer to. They refer to them as teachers or elders, and their own clans, and they speak to each other, all of that, and they are spiritual in nature. So there's a lot of things we could learn from other cultures about these things.
I always said I would never bow down, except to God, and I bowed down to them, you know, put my head down, because I didn't want it when I'm outside with them and they come up. I would put my head down, and I always promised I would never do that, but I have, because I said I would always bow down to God. you know, but nothing else. And guess what? I have bowed down. And
God still
know,
loves you.
That's what I was, you know, always afraid. Now here I bowed down to this thing. It was either live or die.
What I wanted to make a point on is we don't know everything. There's so much we don't know. I mean, we know a lot, but there's so much that we don't know. And there's so many things that we have yet to learn. And so, and that's what I wanted to end up with. So when you say expert at what? We haven't identified it as a species. I don't think there's a scientist out there that has any scientific ambition or ability to be able to do this. They're trying to identify via DNA samples and other things like that in several different areas. But
yeah, I don't believe in
what it all comes down to, what it all comes down to is we don't know anything about them. We know there's more than one species of this thing. So what are they? There's different species of them. There's a lot of things that are question marks. So we need a lot of help out there.
Well, the Men in Black, like knows about them. And they know everything about
The government, other government sources and things have their own little programs and things where they're aware of some of this stuff. They're not aware of all of it.
It was like they would pop up from nowhere. That's what blew me away.
Well, no, I mean, we've had those instances happen, too. We've had them on the show and had people that, and we've got documentation of them being, you know, investigating and stuff. But
I thought they was telling me to shut up. That's how I felt.
Well,
there was no word.
We've had people that were actually taken for 5 days in a home, and they were interrogated and beaten.
See, that's why I held a gun at them. I said they're not going to take me alive. Mm-hmm. I did hold a gun in their face. I was not going to go.
Never had that problem.
No, and they knew I saw them. They knew I knew about them, and they know I was getting closer and closer to learning their markings. Stacking stones, markings, and which way they went. I started, and I knew where a lot of them slept. You know,
well, we kind of went way over our time thing here for the show. I just want to thank all of you tonight for coming on the show and being with us tonight and sharing. You're all, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate everything you guys have been doing and what you've done. So, I just lost my page.
Train of thought?
No, my page, the page to sign out of the show. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's say goodnight to everybody, and we'll see everybody next week. Next week is our anniversary show, and I will be contacting many of you to participate. And, so I'd like to say to everybody, keep on Bigfooting this week. Keep the Bigfoot live, and we'll see everybody next week. Take care now, and good night.
Good night. Good night, Bill. Thank
good
you.
Night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Man.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're all together.